The number of men going to college has been dropping in recent years. Now they've fallen behind women by record numbers. In the most recent school year, women accounted for close to 60% of college students, according to the National Student Clearinghouse. Our next guest spent some time talking to people who work in higher education about why men seem to be turning away from college, as well as a number of young men who've opted to not go to college themselves. You could join in at 800-642-1234. Is this you, or do you know a young man in your life maybe who decided against college after thinking about it? If so, what were some of the reasons there? How has the decision played out for them so far? If you are in college now yourself or working at one, are you seeing this trend in person? Call 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234 or email ideas@WPR.org. Doug Belkin covers higher education and national news for the Wall Street Journal's Chicago Bureau. Doug, thanks a lot for joining us today.
Thanks very much for inviting me on.
Can you spell out this trend a little more for us? How long has this been happening? How big has it gotten?
There was parity, gender parity at college campuses around 1980. And every year since then, almost pretty consistently, women have edged up. There's been a couple more women have essentially enrolled in college than men every year. And then over the past 5 years, there's been maybe 10 years, there's been a decline in enrollment in colleges. A lot of that is demography. But the rate at which men are not enrolling or disappearing from campuses is more than 2-to-1 over women. And so that's exacerbated this gender gap that we're now seeing on campuses.
And some people have looked at this and said, okay, is this about a certain racial group or economic group or whatever? And if I read you right, Doug, this is across the board?
Yeah. If you compare men and women at virtually every socioeconomic group, every race, with, I think with the exception of Asian men and women, there's a pretty significant gap between boys and girls enrolling.
This has got to mean something. What are some of the ideas about why this is happening?
So what makes this story so interesting, and I think why it's sort of caught the public imagination, is because everybody sees a different tale of this. This starts really early. When boys are born, there's more boys born than women and girls. They're more vulnerable biologically, physically. From the get-go, they do less well than girls, and that's exacerbated over the years. So in kindergarten, you see differences. Girls just develop more quickly. Their brains develop more quickly, and they grasp school more quickly. So boys begin to fall into the slow group. They get diagnosed at larger numbers with ADHD for acting out because they're asked to sit still longer than most of them can. Girls tend to have a greater capacity to concentrate earlier on. And you sort of hit the equal sign and it adds up to boys just don't like school by third grade. There's a big cohort of young boys who don't want to go to school. And that accretes year in and year out so that by the time kids are graduating high school, the number of boys who have been suspended and expelled far exceeds the number of girls. And then, of course, the number of girls who enroll in college is growing larger while boys the gap is growing. Once they get to college, boys drop out at much greater rates. So there's a lot of things feeding into that nexus between high school and college. And some of that is whether or not it makes sense to go to college. This was a given in our society for a generation, two generations, college for everybody. It's become a very risky proposition. Kids are taking on a lot of debt. A lot of kids aren't graduating. A lot of kids are getting degrees that lead to underemployment. And so it's made getting a degree a little bit riskier. Boys are less inclined to take on debt than girls, and they have other options. You're seeing in the news a lot of attention being paid to the trades and apprenticeships and coding academies. So these other options, these faster, cheaper access points into the labor market have begun to, I think there's a shine on them now, and boys are taking greater advantage of it than girls. And then I think finally, there's just a lot of lost boys who don't have much of anything going on. They're not making good decisions. They're not really grasping. They're not engaging. They're just sort of checked out. And that seems to be, there's no good data on this, but it seems to be a larger number of young men than young women.
Talking to Doug Belkin, higher education reporter at the Wall Street Journal, looking at the growing gap in college. More women going to college, fewer men. That gap getting bigger from year to year. You can join in at 800-642-1234 with your thoughts, maybe your own experiences. Let's go to your calls now. Leo is with us in Milton. Leo, hi.
Hi, yeah. I'm currently a senior in high school. I'm looking at like applying to college, and I'm seeing this trend where it's a lot more people going into like technical school or going to like more hands-on jobs, just because I feel like the resources from schools is getting a lot better, and like the outreach from technical colleges, and it just makes a lot more sense like career and money-wise for a lot of people I see.
And Leo, if I may ask, what's on your mind as you think about college, technical college, no college? What are you leaning?
Yeah, so I've always been like the side of, you know, I want to go to college. I've always been like more of like an academic smart versus like technically smarter and like interest-wise. But I've definitely like looked at my options at technical school. But I think I'm still leaning more towards college right now.
Leo, thanks a lot for that call, sharing your experience and that of people around you. Doug, what do you think about what you're hearing there from Leo?
I think 15 years ago, he wouldn't have been considering a trade school. I think that in the 1970s, the United States government was scared that the Japanese economy was going to lap ours, and they doubled down on college for all, and they really diminished and minimized trade schools. So we've got a generation of boomers who got through this and went into the trades, and these guys are retiring, and there's a huge demand for folks in the trades right now. But for the past 30 years, there's been they've been diminished. And so as all of these things have come together and the risk for a degree for a college degree has gotten greater, kids like Lee are beginning to think, well, you know, that's not such a bad option. I don't think he would have had that conversation with his mom and dad 10 years ago. I think the millennials got the brunt of that, and a lot of them got degrees they're not using, and they sort of feel burnt by it. And some of these kids who are looking at trade schools now, maybe they're younger brothers and sisters, and the millennials are saying, you know, don't make the mistake I made.
Leo, thanks a lot for that call at 800-642-1234. Doug, you mentioned we had gender parity in about 1980. For years before that, women weren't going to college because in many places they couldn't go there to college for many generations. As academics, as universities are looking at this now, are they seeing this as like, hey, it's okay, we're kind of balancing out that past? Or is this something that has people worried?
It seems to me that there's not enough people worried about it, honestly. You know, universities were built by wealthy white men for their sons. And so these were the way these institutions were created. Jews and blacks and women and Latinos and everybody else had sort of had to build a bridge into these universities and make them their own. And they carved out niches, and they were able to get resources in a lot of cases to help them stay there and feel comfortable. There is a sensibility that the most privileged class of people in the country, white boys especially, should not be given any more advantages than they have. But the numbers are beginning to belie that sentiment. And so you've got sort of a politics on campus that say, let's help the most underserved kids in the country get into college. And that's noble and good and fair. But there's a crosswind blowing when it comes to helping boys, especially white boys. And so you have really not that much is being done once the kids get there.
You talked to some admissions officials who said they were quietly trying to do something about this. What kind of things did you hear?
Yeah, at four-year private schools in particular, the admissions officers will put their thumb on the scale in the admissions process. There is affirmative action for boys in the admissions process at a lot of schools, not the most elite schools. They have plenty of boys and girls who want to go, but sort of the second and third tier schools are doing this more and more. What's happening is the schools, you know, kids want to go to school and they want to see some level of gender parity. If the demography slips 60-40 beyond that, if there's then the girls start to question going and the boys start to question going. So there's a demand to keep things a little bit even. But if there are more accomplished, smart girls applying, then some of them are not going to get in favor of boys who are less accomplished to keep that gender parity.
We're talking to Doug Belkin, higher education reporter for The Wall Street Journal. He's based in Chicago, and he's with us today to talk about why fewer men are going to college, what that means for their careers and economic future. the gap growing over the years. More women, fewer men in higher education as students. And you can join in at 800-642-1234. Is this a problem you think there should be resources put into addressing? Do you think that admissions offices say should put their thumbs on the scales to bring more boys in to balance things out? If you're a college student now or about to be, what is on your mind as you make these decisions? Call 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234 or email ideas at WPR.org. We'll continue the conversation coming up on Central Time. This is Central Time. I'm Rob Ferret. We're picking up our talk now about women outpacing men at U.S. colleges by record numbers, a trend growing from year to year. Doug Belkin stays with us from the Wall Street Journal, and you can join in with your thoughts, your questions, maybe your own observations about the falling number of men going to college. Call 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234. Have you made this decision recently? Are you making it right now? Or is someone in your family, if you are a guy or know a guy who is weighing the options, who might have gone to college in years past, doing something other than that, love to hear from you. If you're looking at this from a perspective within a college, you can join in at 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234. Do you think this is a problem? 800-642-1234 or email ideas at WPR.org. Now, you talked, Doug, to some men who either dropped out of college or decided not to go in the first place. What kind of things did they tell you about making that decision?
There was a lot of indecision and a lot of fear of debt. A lot of these guys said that they didn't have a clear vision for why they were going, what they were going to learn, how they were going to apply what they were going to learn. And they worried about the cost and the fact that without a clear vision, they were going to take on debt that wouldn't lead them on a path that was appropriate. And so they washed out. They said they'd rather do something else, think it through. You know, the economy is sort of, is changing too, right? I mean, you have access to every customer in the world through the internet now. So there's, I think there's an entrepreneurial spirit that's taken root among Gen Z who are trying to take advantage of social media to sell things and sort of go into business for themselves. So there's a little bit of optimism around that source as well, that maybe this is, a degree is no longer as necessary as it once was.
Does that sound like that bad a way to think? I mean, is there a thought that maybe, hey, some of these guys will do fine without the college, some will make that decision a few years down the line with a better idea of what they want to do with their college education?
I think it's a very logical thought process. It made a lot of sense. The issue that I think this hits is that there's two big problems I think that these kids are going to face if they don't end up getting a degree. There's, you know, we've up-credentialed every job in this country. I mean, you need a BA to become a maitre d' practically. So that's just an issue. They're going to get shut out of a lot of entry-level jobs that they probably don't need to be. That's the first issue. But the second issue is what happens with regard to the professions. The BA remains a calling card to get into the corner offices, so to speak, in a lot of career paths, which will just be shut off. You're not going to be a lawyer or a doctor if you don't go to college. You're not going to be a dentist. You're not going to be probably a politician. So these things, I think that's worth taking note of. The other issue becomes family formation. Traditionally, women have not wanted to marry men who are less educated than them. There's a cultural shift going on, but there's tension there. You could see it playing out, on dating sites and such around the country. This is happening, and how that plays out with regard to education sort of remains to be seen. I don't think that's a good reason necessarily to go to college, but it's, you know, part and parcel of what makes someone an attractive mate for somebody else.
And Doug, you talked to some guys in college who are kind of worried about the attitude of men on campus, less academic and career focused, more. And this is, I guess, at the 4-year institutions, more party, good time, and come out with that degree at the end.
Yeah, women are just more focused. You look at the time surveys of how college students, male and female, are spending their time, and it's pretty stark. Women are studying, they're volunteering, they're engaged in clubs. Boys are playing video games. They're sleeping more. They're working out more. They're partying more. They're drinking more. So, when girls get to college, they're on a mission. When boys get to college, the mission may not be quite as productive.
Let's go back to our callers now at 800-642-1234. Jenny is with us from Eastern Wisconsin. Jenny, hi.
Hello.
What did you want to bring up, Jenny?
I was bringing up that in over the past several years, females have been allowed into, or are get, not allowed, are getting into medical schools at a much greater rate. It's pretty much 50-50 in most schools. In some schools, it's actually tipped a little more to females over males, which in theory sounds great. But in reality, access is becoming less and less for people for healthcare, medical, you know, seeing a physician. And my personal experience is that a lot of the women will become part-time, which in theory, again, sounds great, but I also know several who have quit, and they've quit at young ages, early 40s, 50s, some even late 30s. And that is a problem for everyone because then we have lack of access to health care. And it is very difficult for, as you were mentioning earlier, for a white male to get into, you know, certain schools.
Jenny, thanks a lot for the call. And Doug, I've heard from medicine, from some science fields, lucrative ones, the computer sciences and some engineering fields, when they get women in and they may not make it, they may leave before they complete a degree, or as Jenny says, leave early in career. That's a little further ahead than you were focusing on in your piece, but do you have thoughts on that?
You know, one of the interesting things I was reading about when I was reporting this piece was about the wage gap, right? So you'll generally see that the unadjusted wage gap between men and women is like 78 cents on the dollar. Women earn about 78 cents on the dollar. For a dollar that men earn. And that's if you sort of take every nickel earned by every woman and you divide it by their number, and the same for men. So it's sort of a gross number. When you adjust it, you begin to see some different variables churn out. There probably is a degree of sexism in the workplace that's holding women back, but there are also habits and priorities that differ between the genders, right? Men tend to want to work more, or not want to work. They tend to work more hours over the course of their lifetime. They'll work in more dangerous jobs. They're more likely to move and travel for jobs. Whether or not, you know, women are more likely to retire from a doctor's career, I don't know. I've not looked into it. But there's a pattern that speaks to a sort of level of productivity that men have adopted. And part of this is motherhood. I think, you know, women have traditionally obviously spent more time with young children. So that obviously plays into this. So there's a lot of factors about how the genders split. Occupations, split the workloads, but the household, that all play into what education, what it means and what it does. And like I said before, this stuff is going to have to get renegotiated, I think, down the line as women more and more become the elite in this country.
Jenny, thanks for that call. Doug, in our last couple of minutes, I want to look toward the future. As you talk to admissions officials and others, do you think this is going to be a growing trend where campuses are thinking, hey, we need to try to bring this a little closer to balance?
So I think that the schools have a fairly limited, well, let me back up. The more that the schools align their curriculum with the labor market, they'll probably see greater attraction by men. I mean, I think a lot of boys are very concerned with earning a living and providing for their families when they got out of school. And so they're just less likely to aspire to liberal arts, and they're more likely to study things like engineering where the job markets are strong, computer science and these sorts of things. So schools can double down on those fields, and that would change the calculations. But I think there are broader macro trends that are more powerful than what the universities control. And I think that these sort of faster, cheaper pathways into the labor market are going to grow more and more, and I think boys are going to be attracted to them.
So the face of the campus of the future, you think the predominantly female campus is here to stay?
Yeah, I think at a lot of schools that's going to continue, and it's going to grow. That's, you know, the one data point we have looking forward is from the common application numbers applying for college for next year. And it was the gender divide was larger than it was any other year. So, I mean, that's the direction it's heading. And if you look at some of these European countries, I can't remember there's a few of them that are much greater. The Iceland is one of them where it is 2-1 already in enrollment. So I think that's going to there's precedent here.
Doug, thanks a lot for joining us today.
Really a pleasure to be on your show. Thank you.
That's Doug Belkin. He covers higher education and national news from the Wall Street Journal's Chicago Bureau. He was with us today to talk about why men are trailing behind women in U.S. colleges at record and growing rates and how the higher education community is reacting to that trend.